Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hazret Mevlana Murtaza Hasan Sahib Rahmetullahi Aleyhisiz. I had come across a certain Bedouin villager, and it took a strange liking for him. We didn't know each other. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. But for some reason or the other, known best by Allah Ta'ala, I just took a liking for the person. And then I noticed that he also had taken a liking for me. After some days, the same villager came up to me and he says, "I wish to invite you." Now, I didn't want to accept this, but because of the friendship, I was just obliged to accept the invitation. And the reason why I didn't want to accept the invitation, I felt this burden will take me to his home. And he may be living in the sticks, far in the village, from the Masjid al-Nabawi. I have to go there, eat, and come, make it back on time for Taraweeh namaz. So by Taraweeh namaz or my Isha namaz or both will be gone on account of this invitation. But now there was a relationship, there was a friendship, and for me to refuse this invitation became quite difficult. Anyway, I joined him and he was living quite far out. We went on foot, couple of miles away from the Masjid al-Nabawi. On foot went there. As we reached the house, so he called out, "Ya Ghulam, a youngster, can't you see there's a guest here? Put the rice on the stove, prepare the rice. So I said, "Marig Yahweh, hey, still the rice is going to be prepared. That's another one of our job. Then I have to eat. And then after that I have to return a couple of miles back to the masjid. And what do I do? If I move away, then I don't know the road." I was really worried. Anyway, I accepted the invitation. I ate at the place. And then I left. In my mind, in my heart, I'm saying definitely today my namaz is gone. There's no two ways about it. I came back to the masjid and I saw the masjid totally empty. I just saw one person at the entrance. I said, "Now this is it. I had it today. Came to the entrance. I asked this person that was sitting at the entrance of the masjid, "What's up when I see the masjid is empty? Is the Taraweeh namaz over?" So that person that is sitting at the masjid entrance says, "Anta majnoon, you mad. People just left now from after Maghrib, they just left now. They're still going to eat and still going to come. There are 1 hour. I made out this Bedouin, this villager was a Buzurg, a Wali. He covered me right to his home, got the food prepared, returned me back to the masjid. And when I calculated, it was just about 5 or 7 minutes. So what muhabbat he must have had for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They are those people up till this day. All their work is this. They would just look at the Rose Mubarak or just look at the Gumbad Khadra, the green dome, and they would continuously recite Durood Sharif. This was amongst those people. But they are those people, they are hidden, they are concealed, they don't make an advertisement of themselves. Nobody knows them. It is between them and Allah Ta'ala, that secret they don't wish to disclose and share with anybody. Allah Ta'ala include us amongst them. So this is that muhabbat that we also are desirous of. All of us are desirous of. Allah Ta'ala grant us that. And the Shaykhul Hind, rahmatullah alayhi, someone asked him that if you had that moment of acceptance, what would you have asked? What would you have asked for? He says, all I would have asked for is Allah Ta'ala, the love that you had blessed the Sahaba-i-Kiram, the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that was blessed out to the Sahaba-i-Kiram, oh Allah Ta'ala, just give me a small spectacle of that. Can you imagine what love the Sahaba-i-Kiram had? The Mullah says, just give me some share of that love that you had given the Sahaba-i-Kiram for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, this is that love that we are desirous for, we are asking for, we beg for. And Allah Ta'ala is so gracious that He's paved the way, He's shown us how you can get it. Rasulullah's very dear friend was Anas radiallahu anhu. He remained in the khidmat and he developed an affinity for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered Medina Munawara, the whole Medina Munawara was covered with light. Old Medina Munawara, splendid, beautiful. Just the entering of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the whole Medina Munawara just changed. Light upon light. And then when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had left, then everything had just darkened. So he was too dear to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very fond of him. He said, I lived so long with him. But never did he reprimand me, never did he shout me. I was young, 10, 11 years of age when I had come to the khidmat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For some work that I hadn't done because of my young age, he wouldn't shout me that, why didn't you do this? And for something that I did, what I wasn't supposed to be doing, he wouldn't ask me that, why did you do this? And if someone tried to reproach me or shout me, he would stop them. No, don't shout him. So there was a deep affinity and a love for this Anas radiallahu anhu. So Rasulullah SAW gave him some advice. My son. Imagine what a respectable loving words. When we speak to our children, younger people, our students, then what loving words we need to speak to them with. That must be locked in their memories for the rest of their lives. That this is my ustad, my father, my uncle gave me this piece of advice. When we love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then that same love that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had imparted and bestowed to the Sahaba Ikram, then we need to speak in that type of loving words to our juniors as well. That love must be locked in and they can't take it afterwards. Everything of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is preserved. Everything is recorded. Everything is then transmitted. So how this came about, it was just love. They weren't getting any rands for that. They weren't getting any sense, nothing, not generating any income. The books of hadiths that they have written were not, the rights for them were not registered. Today you got registered, and then anybody wants to reprint, and he must pay the royalties. So there wasn't any royalties, anything registered, nothing. So what was it then? Nobody was with a gun behind them. And nor were they getting any royalties for this, then what was it that pushed them like this? It was just love, mere love. Nothing else, just love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Extreme, that love was gone to that extreme level. So this is what we are asking for, we are desirous for. We want to be in his company, we want to be with him in Jannat. We want to have his love. So now, if we like that love, and we want that love, and we want to search for that love, then there must be a way, obviously. Overall, the sunnahs are plentiful, and adhering to the sunnah will gain you the love of Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like the Quran Sharif says. إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني. So that will gain you. That's a guaranteed method. But in this guaranteed method, I just wish to show you one formula. Perhaps this may be a stepping stone to that ultimate. So you want to get to the ultimate, but there must be a stepping stone to that ultimate. How do you get there? So the Prophet had imparted this, the secret, to his dearest friend, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, who he addressed as my son, Ya Bunayya. So he must have been a very fond Sahabi. Very, very fond for the reason to address him as dear son. How we will say in our language, beta or something, you know, words of love, muhabbat. If it is possible for you, my dear son, then spend the night and the day, spend the morning and the evening without any malice, any hatred in your heart for anybody. Anybody. Any Muslim, then don't harbor any malice. Really, this hadith is such that it is the mystery and it is the secret for happiness. You just experiment this. You don't have any type of hatred for any Muslim in the world. You'll see, happiness will be the very feature of your heart. But the moment you try to, or you unfortunately, you bring about malice, hatred in the heart. Malice, you harbor malice, then immediately happiness docks elsewhere. Happiness will move away. You harbor that malice, you harbor hatred, malice will move away, it will go and dock somewhere else. Both can't go together. Happiness, malice, and happiness can't go together. If you have got malice, then it will definitely move away. It's impossible, you can't imagine both of them to be together. Like you can't imagine a lion and a goat to be together, grazing nicely on one field. Can you imagine a nice little beautiful goat and a lion that didn't eat for 3 days? Can you imagine both of them grazing on the one field at one and the same time? Impossible. Unless it's a karamat of the lion or something. But you can't imagine the thing. So if you want happiness, apart from the virtue of the hereafter, etc., the greatest thing is Islam's advice to his dear friend. Don't have any malice, any hatred in your heart for anybody. Suspicion, malice. And obviously you'll have to work towards it. You'll have to work towards it, not having any malice, any hatred. Show love, show muhabbat. For any Muslim, big or small, the one that is a weak Muslim, then show love, perhaps he will come closer to thee. You will resent the wrong that he is doing, definitely. Sometimes you'll have to shout him. But shout him as how you would shout your son. You shouted him now, then by the evening he's your friend again. You will then pamper him, don't you? And you shout him, and you shout him because of love, not because of hatred. If that son of yours, if he is slipping into the deep end, you shout at me, watch out, careful. You will hurt yourself just now, so you will shout him. But you shout him because of love, not because of hatred, not because of despising him. In a moment's time, then you are his friend again. So if you need to shout him, you may shout him, but shout him as a friend, not as an enemy. He will also pick it up. He will feel, oh, it's my friend, this person. But you shout him as an enemy, he won't want to see you again. Your tone will make it out. Your character, behavior will make it out. That, no, this person is shouting me out of friendship, or he's shouting me because of extreme love. What reason is he shouting me? Okay. So this aspect of not harboring any malice for any Muslim, big or small, this is something we need to learn, we need to inculcate, we need to teach ourselves not to harbor any malice. There's so many things that we can cheer ourselves. Why must we go on that end of fighting, aggressive, malice, hatred? Why must we go on that end? Can't we cheer ourselves? You can joke, cheer, make a joke. Don't disgrace, don't insult, don't hurt, don't embarrass. But cheer, you can cheer yourselves. Now, Islam has allowed us to go on that end of happiness. Why must we go on the path of gloom, on the path of misery, in the path of agony and grief? Why must we go on that end? There's so many things for us to be happy with. Speak about the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, His Qudrat, His magnificence, the beauty of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Speak about these things and cheer. Why should you go on the path of gloom, on the path of agony and grief? Do we like to go on that end? Whether it's our friends, whether it's our wives and children, whether it is people that we know or we don't know, but cheer them up for the sake of Islam. Show a smiling face. That way you already got sawab. Just smile at your Muslim's face. Muslim brother, smile at him. Assalamu alaikum. How are you, bhai? You asked him, Assalamu alaikum, you got a reward. You smile at his face, you got a reward. You asked him, how are you? You got a reward. There's so many things for you to be happy. And so many things through which you can please and cheer your brother. Right, you pulled up your face. Assalamu alaikum. Like a military salam. Assalamu alaikum. That's a military salam. You know, spread the whole world with military what? Spread it with love, with muhabbat, with compassion. What military style? Military, leave it for the South African defense. Here we are brothers. Show muhabbat. Extend that muhabbat. Then when we don't show this muhabbat in the right place, then we'll show it in the wrong places. Then with the hostess in the plane, oh, madam, can you bring me that tea? She brought the tea. Now the sugar is a little bit short. I know that I need a little bit more tea there. The milk is short. And you want to stress the conversation. She must keep coming to you. So where you're supposed to show the muhabbat, you don't show it. Then that muhabbat has to go in the wrong places, obviously. In the cashier, this thing here. And the dear wife of yours that is slogging, she's struggling, she's taking her whole jaan out to serve you. There you come, military shah. Assalamu alaikum, the tea is ready now. What about the biscuit? Why didn't you serve me with the biscuit? There's a different style. Yeah, you're supposed to show love. You're supposed to show the muhabbat. She's been working for you. She strived for you. She sacrificed her life for you. She didn't go for anybody else. There you forgot her. And these people, they are not working for you. They're working for the money there. If it wasn't for the money, they wouldn't have shown you the smile also. They're not working for you at all. They're working for their money. And you're complimenting them. Oh, madam, what a beautiful, excellent service. And I wish to fly with you again. What was the need for all that compliments? No need for that compliments. No, absolutely. Mafatiya, there's a real mafatiya, and you're giving all the compliments. Your wife, your children, you need to compliment them. Show them love, show them muhabbat. Really, it's the wrong places. Because of ignorance, we begin to behave in this way. Where we're supposed to show muhabbat, we don't show the muhabbat. When the muhabbat and the love goes in the wrong places, imagine how much Rasulullah's heart and his soul must be affected with this. But as I say, if you're showing muhabbat, show the muhabbat in the right way, understanding. Don't do it in a wild way, without understanding. Someone heard a talk like my talk now, that I'm giving. So he went home, and now he complimented his wife. Bibi, you know what? Begum, what a beautiful meal you prepared. You know? Just eating my fingers off, you know, so beautiful. So she began to cry even more. Begum, but I didn't do anything. I just complimented you for the good food that you prepared. So she, after he comforted her and consoled her, she says, you know what? For the last 20 years I've been preparing food for you. You never complimented me. Today, bhulti, accidentally it came from the neighbor's house. So you compliment, but in a nice way. Not in a stupid way, no? You compliment. Mustn't be such that she'll catch you out. Okay? Not that way also. In a nice way, a respectable way, loving way. So this is what all Islam is about. When I see Islamic history and I see the teaching of Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, 70-75% is just akhlaq, good character. How Islam spread character. 25% a little bit of law, system and structures, etc. But 75% is love, muhabbat, akhlaq, character, ways. That was 75%. Now we reverse the whole thing. 75%, 80% is military style. You know, you want to be like a boss, military, you know, hard and rigid, and 20% of love. Not even 20%, 10% love. And that love will show, provided we're getting some perks out of it. Then we'll show the love. Now, is that Islam? You know, there's so many businessmen, alhamdulillah, you'll find that Muslims take to them. They take to Muslims, and Muslims take to them, alhamdulillah. But it's how you work with them. They want come closer to Islam, they go and perform their namaz. It is because of your akhlaq, your character, your ways that you would show. They want to perform their namaz, but it's the way, how you show them. So this akhlaq is a very, very great thing. Now imagine this hadith here, Nabi Sallam is sharing this secret with his very dear bosom friend, Anas radiallahu anhu. They don't harbor any malice. No malice in your heart. Nothing. Clean, clean heart. And then Nabi Sallam tells him that this is my sunnat. This is my way. You know, if I've got 10 children, and from the 10 children I say, this is my son. What am I saying? All are my son. I don't say that they are not my son. They are illegitimate. I don't say that. But this is my special son. My very, very special son. So this is my special sunnat. You know, I say this is a stepping stone to the rest of the sunnat, inshallah. Make a niyat. 27th night. So we make a niyat, you know, that at least we will try and practice at least this sunnat. All say inshallah. We'll try and practice the sunnat that for anybody. If we had harbored any malice for whatever reason, forgive them, clean our hearts, and some way look for a way to talk to them somehow, make salam, SMS, whatever, salams to you, forgive me, make dua for me. Small messages, small little message, but what a big difference it makes to the person. A small message, how are you, jazakallah, thank you, you send that gift, or you conveyed salams, I am appreciative. So how good the person doesn't feel, you just give him a smile. Nabi Sam would enter the house, as Aisha says, and there was a smile on the countenance. As Aisha would forget all the worries of the day. Just a smile, just a little bit of smile. What a big difference you can make to that person with a smile, with a cheer. So he says that this is my sunnah, this is my way of life. Even the Quran speaks about this. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا لِلَّذِينَ آمُنُوا رَبَّنَا. Allah Ta'ala, forgive us, our brothers that have accepted Islam before us, because obviously those that had passed before us, they had passed on Islam to us. So we ask for their welfare as well. All the brothers, all Muslims that had accepted Islam or that passed before us, they were in some way responsible to pass on deen to us, like our fathers, whoever it was, right? In some way, in a big way, small way, big way, directly, indirectly, but they were responsible to pass on Islam to us. So we make dua for them. And aren't our parents responsible? The first seed of iman planted into your heart was done by your parents. Now, must we forget them? No, Allah forgive them as well. Some friend, some neighbor, someone that had helped, some jamaat, someone that spoke about deen, they passed on deen to us. So we make dua for them. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And oh Allah Ta'ala, let it not be that our hearts have any malice for any believer. We don't have any malice, any hatred, any dislike. Now this can be done when that person's heart is clean. I see something by you, I'm happy for you. I can compliment you, alhamdulillah, I'm happy for this. May Allah Ta'ala allow this to continue with you. You got a new car, I'm very happy. And I compliment you, may Allah Ta'ala give you barakat for that. You got a shop, you got a house, something that is good. We don't burn for that person. Why must we burn? You're going to burn for that person. You're not going to get anything. You will burn away. Really, you will burn away. You won't get anything. So rather be happy with that person. MashaAllah, Allah Pak has blessed him. So why must I burn? I'm happy for my brother that he's got it. I haven't got it, my brother has got it. So if we are pleased and we're happy with Muslims, then we'll learn how to appreciate and love Muslims. Now, if in our town, for example, if Mr. Price has to come, right, or ShopRite has to come, so we say ShopRite has come, we talk great about it. But if our Muslim brother has opened up a shop like ShopRite or something bigger, then do we show the happiness? We must show happiness for our Muslim brother. He would support the masjid, he would do some good work for the Muslims, Islam. So can't we show that muhabbat? If our Muslim brother opens up something, say, oh, hey, something wrong. See, immediately is malice. We can't see the good that our brother is doing. If Allah Pak has blessed him in some way, accept it, compliment the person, pick up his morale. Now, rather than picking up his morale, somehow negative, we try to smash that person. But that kafir that goes up, there we want to compliment him. Where's the reason? Where's the logic? I don't say smash the kafir, but at least your brother, at least compliment him, pick him up. MashaAllah, what a good thing. If he's doing some work, he'll do better work. And he will at least have this in mind, that alhamdulillah, my brothers are supporting me, they are complimenting me. Won't he feel good about it? So can't we learn how to cheer that Muslim heart? You know, to pick up that heart. How can't we learn that? So we look for ways how we can please the Muslim heart. Whichever way, maybe I will speak to him in a good way. If he's not practicing some of the sunnahs, he will practice the sunnahs also. That my brother love me, then why can't I be a better Muslim? My brothers love me, they compliment me, they are with me in whatever I'm doing. If I'm practicing 60%, can't I make it 70%? If I'm doing 70%, can't I make it 80%? Everybody loves me, everybody compliments me, everybody respects me. Can't I become a more committed Muslim? So we look for ways how to make the person more committed. And one simple way is muhabbat. You can't attach a price to it. If muhabbat and love is such a thing, no price, you can't attach a price to it. So these are the simple, effective and successful methods that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had shown how to please a Muslim, how to bring about that brotherhood. Salam to a brother, a compliment. If there is some difficulty, then try and sympathize with the person or try and help him, support him in some way. So simple ways, but we can strengthen the brotherhood, we can strengthen the bond. And especially now that our hearts are softened, month of Ramadan, we must learn to do this. How to cheer, how to bring the brotherhood, how to compliment, how to try and cooperate with Muslims. Whatever they are doing, even if it is a permissible thing, just a worldly thing, but cooperate with him. He's a Muslim, he's my brother. Can't I cooperate with him? So, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا. That happens provided we don't have any jealousy. Or why is he excelled? Why is he above me? Can't I do something even better? Can't I exceed him? No, he's got it, let him go, carry on. I'm not short of anything. I can eat. I eat still. I drink. I'm wearing clothing. I got a roof over my head. So why must I be jealous? Why must I burn over him? He's made some strides. He's made some progress. Alhamdulillah for him. Allah Ta'ala grant him more. But I'm not short of anything. I'm not short of anything. Then why must I burn over his success? Why must I burn over his good? Really, if we learn this, we'll learn how to be happy. We'll learn how to live as brothers. You know, we can be living anywhere. But you'll see that our hearts are together. So, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah, don't create any malice in our hearts against any believer. So, this is a Quranic message. The Quranic dua that Allah Pak is teaching us a dua, that our hearts must not have any malice. We are subject to earthly conditions. We get affected. Someone excels and all, we get affected. But Nabi Sam says, don't be jealous. And don't harbor that malice. Really, if you are harboring jealousy, malice, etc., then you are really questioning the divine decree of Allah Ta'ala. Allah, you know, you gave him that wealth, you're not supposed to give it to him, you're supposed to give it to me. So are you in the position of dictating the terms to Allah Ta'ala? Allah gave it to him, that he's Allah's prerogative, he knows why he gave that to that person, and he didn't give this to you. Overall, if you analyze, you will find if he's been blessed with one thing, you also been blessed. Sometimes he's blessed with wealth, you are blessed with health. Sometimes he's blessed, for example, with children, you are blessed with respect and honor. He's blessed with dunya, you are blessed with deen. So if you look around, then there are some things that you enjoy also that person doesn't enjoy. So can't you analyze it in that way? If he's been blessed in one way, then you've been blessed in another way. That is why the Quran Sharif says, when you see all this thing here, the same verse that speaks about Allah Ta'ala's plan and how Allah Ta'ala grants one above the other, one more than the other. So Allah Pak says, simple thing I will teach you people, وَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِ. Ask Allah Ta'ala for His grace. Ask Allah Ta'ala, beg Allah Ta'ala for His grace. So I was explaining one brother, that why you shouldn't ask for increase of wealth, or in case of anything material, ask for His grace. If you ask for increase of wealth, or increase of any material, then it may be that that material may not be the best thing for you. It may take you further away from Allah Ta'ala. You've got too much now. Now you have to make figure for all that. So that will take you further away from Allah Ta'ala. Or maybe that additional wealth will put you into pride and arrogance. You may become very proud of yourself, arrogant of yourself. So it may not be the best thing. You saw him, you compliment him, make dua for that person. But for yourself, you be suspicious about yourself, that he's got it, alhamdulillah, he's carrying on very well. But myself, I don't know. If I have got it now, I don't know what will be my position. Now I am reading my namaz with jamaat, with takbir ula. But now, if I got that wealth, then I can't guarantee that I'll get my takbir ula. Sometimes I'll get it, sometimes I won't get it. Sometimes I'll be rushing to the masjid, sometimes I'll be coming calmly. Sometimes I'll be coming last minute and pushing myself right to the first serve. I'll be doing all these type of things. But now I'm alright. I'm coming my own time, easily, comfortably to the masjid, performing my namaz, no hurry. My sunnahs, my nafils, my tasbih, tasbih Fatimah, I'm doing everything. I'm coming easily to the masjid, I'm going easily from the masjid. I got nothing in my life. Nothing that's rushing me up. Nothing. So I'm at ease. Now, why must I ask for more? Yes, I need Allah Ta'ala. And I need that this life of mine be comfortable and easy and manageable for me and for my children. But I don't know exactly how that life of mine would be more manageable, enjoyable and pleasant for me and for my children. With wealth, without wealth, with constraints, without constraints, with a lot of children or less children. So how this wealth, how this life will be more manageable, enjoyable and pleasant for me, Allah Pak knows it. So that can be achieved with His grace. If His grace is showering on me all the time, then if I am in constraints, in difficulties, in any position, then I will be alright, because I am enjoying the grace of Allah Ta'ala. I am enjoying the grace of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When I am in the grace of Allah Ta'ala, then I will be a happy person. So the better dua to make is, Allah Ta'ala, grant me your grace. You know, when you leave the masjid, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik, Allah Ta'ala, grant me your grace. So whether that grace was in Prophet, in less Prophet, whether that grace was in children or less children, whether that grace was in getting daughters or sons, whether that grace was in wealth or knowledge, whatever it was, but you asked for His grace. For some people, that knowledge turns out to be an argument against them. For some people, that knowledge turns out to be an argument in their favor. So whatever the grace of Allah, however, you become a very good alim now. For example, you become a very good orator, or you write very well. But the chances are now that you are a writer, you are an orator, pride may have the better over you. And now you're looking for publicity, you're looking for people to recognize you. So that may turn out to be fatal, dangerous for you. But if you ask for His grace, the grace, if it's His grace, is His grace, His blessings must be good, through and through is good. That wealth, you cannot say that it will be good. Any material, you cannot say indefinitely that it is good. But grace, it's good through and through. Blessing of Allah is good through and through. So the simple way to ask and beg Allah, repeatedly you ask, Allah asks you, I beg you for your grace. So when you see someone, you be happy for him, compliment him, make dua for him, but by the same token, when you have that feeling that, hey, I had this thing here, I had this. So you don't allow your mind to run behind that. Rather, you ask Allah, you blessed him, Allah, grant me your grace, grant me your blessing. So in whichever way, Allah will grant you his blessing. He will grant you grace. Whether you're living here, whether you're living in America, you're living in Saudi Arabia, in India, wherever. But you got the grace of Allah that you are happy as ever. There's happiness in you, in your children there's happiness, in your wife and your relationship there's happiness, in your friends, immediate and the broader circle, there's happiness there. In your health, there's happiness. In everything, there's happiness. Now, you've got everything, but there's gloom. No, you don't have a good relationship with your wife. You've got everything. No good relationship with your children. Children are sickly. Something like some other problem. You got the material, but you got these problems with it. So, the safer thing, the better thing, and the most intelligent thing to ask, the most wise thing to ask Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, bless me with your grace. I need your grace. So Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu's hadith, coming back to that hadith, Nabi Sallam tells Hazrat Anas that this is my sunnat. Hazihi min sunnati. Hazihi min sunnati. This is my sunnat. And whoever likes my sunnat, whoever loves, takes to my sunnat, really he loves me. You know, I spoke at the beginning that you want the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You want to be together with him. Though you will not enjoy the same rank, but like khadims, you know, like nokers. Like how if the king is going, you know, if the king is moving, then you have an escort, right? So the escort also just gaps in. He's enjoying everything. Though the king, he is the original person, but because of his respect, you also gap in. You get in because of him. So you want the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Sallallahu is giving you an easy formula. Easy formula. Because of his love for him, he's giving him that formula. Let's see, this is the formula I'm giving you. So this is my sunnah, this is my way. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Now that's the last thing that we want, or the greatest thing that we want. We want to be with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? That's what we all are desirous for. Aren't we all desirous for? That we want to be with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Jannah. So this hadith, you know, you love me, you don't harbor malice, and this is my sunnah. And who loves my sunnah, my way of life, he loves me. And who loves me, he will be with me in Jannat. Just for your information, there was one brother here, Ismail Umarji, right? He passed away about 3 years. He should come for itikaf here. He passed away. Numerous people had dreams about him, with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with the Sahaba Ikram. And very good dreams, you know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba Ikram, who came to receive him at the time of death, etc. All that type of dreams he had. But he was one of the crowd. We didn't make him out. Neither did we recognize him. We didn't know much about him. All we knew, after Maghrib, he will come and give everybody badams. Smile on the face. And some small job, clean the dastarkhan, taking this broom and sweeping, all the small type of job he would do. Later on we discovered he's a professional person. But then I went and offered my condolence to his brother, Shabir, and all that. So they told me, what was his salient feature in him? The salient feature is he will never backbite anybody. No gossip, no backbiting. You see, about 70-60% of our gunas is the tongue. 30-40% is with the eye, and 70-60% is the tongue. Not disgracing, not embarrassing, not ridiculing, not in his presence, not in his absence. But we look after our tongue. So he had a very tight control over his tongue. His brother tells me, his both brothers, Abu Bakr and Shabib, both say that if there is ghibat, gossiping, any Muslim is being slandered, anything, he will get up, he will tell the person, please stop it. Straight he'll tell him, please stop it. And if the brother stops it, well and good. Otherwise, if he doesn't stop, and he tells him one time, he doesn't stop, then he'll get up and move away. Immediately, that immediate response, he'll ask him to stop it, and if the person stops, well and good, but if he doesn't stop, then he'll get up and move away. Now what a great death Allah Ta'ala blessed him with. He spent Ramzan, and then the Sahaba Ikram, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is with them in that company. And people have seen the dream. Numerous people have seen the dream. But how he earned it, this was that simplicity that he had. And no airs about himself. You wouldn't think that I'm so and so. Right? But yes, he will never tolerate ghibat, gossip, any type of mudslinging against any Muslim, big or small. But it's not my job. That is between Allah Ta'ala and him. I don't need to interfere in that. I don't need to interfere with that relationship. It's not my job. But I am required not to make ghibat, not to gossip, not to hurt, not to disgrace, not to ridicule. How many sins, you know? Ridicule, disgrace, embarrass, misquote, insinuate, spur up one against the other, all related to the tongue. So you will not entertain that discussion, number one. And if he is there and someone is talking, then you'll stop the person. And if the person stops, very good. If he doesn't stop, then he gets up and moves away. Now, a simple person, but how Allah Ta'ala had blessed him. Now, can't we do this? Just control over the tongue. How much of friendship we can gain, and how much of happiness we can gain, and overall, how much Allah Ta'ala will be happy. You know, many a times, that hadith says that we'll gain all the sawab. This hajj is so rewarding, and zakat is so rewarding, and namaz is so rewarding. But Allah adulluka ala milaki zalika kulli. Can I show you something that will preserve all your actions? Maybe some advice, I think it was Mu'az ibn Jabal, you know, advising. But I can show you something that will preserve all this. So Muaz was very eager to know what is the secret now. What is that that will preserve? So look after this. Look after the tongue. So Muaz was surprised that the tongue. Said, yes, most people will go into Jahannam headlong because of the tongue. What the tongue has reaped. Really, if you can just look after today in this age and time, only our eyes and our tongues. Our eyes and tongue, just look after that. And when we talk of tongue, that means tongue. The tongue and the ear is one function. The tongue and the ear is one function. Because, you know, when you say smoking, you can either be an active smoker or a passive smoker. Right? So the tongue also, you can either be active or passive. Passive, you're listening. Right? And what happened after that?
Yeah.
The giver is carrying one. What happened after that? Pachi huti you. You want to know, somehow. And if that person is not carrying on, I heard about this, something like this. But you also are spurring him up to carry on the story. Allah forgive us all. What is he doing with this person? So that pious person is in the pretext, in the disguise of piety. I will see Allah forgive us all. What a thing he did, man. So you run the person down, but in the disguise of piety. Allah must forgive us all. So there's several ways how you misuse this tongue. So that is why I say it's the tongue and the eyes. Just look after this. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will give us Jannah. Allah Ta'ala will look after us. But in the same hadith, Abisam says, you want to preserve everything. You know, this big night has come that you want to earn your sawab. But after earning your sawab, you want to preserve it as well. You don't want to earn it and then lose it. You want to earn it and you want it to continue. You want it to last. You want to retain it. The way to retain is look after your tongue. Allah Ta'ala will give us Jannah.